Hi everyone, it's Kathy, and welcome back to another episode of The Journey into Cybersecurity. And this episode is sponsored by DNT Creative Group. Today, I have a special guest who has been working a long, long time in cybersecurity and has a very fascinating story to tell on how he landed into cybersecurity. And before I just introduce him, just a quick introduction to the Triangle Net, which I founded in with the purpose of sharing everybody's story and really demystifying the concepts of cybersecurity, making it more relevant and tangible to the younger people in middle and high school so that they can see themselves perhaps working in that field also. So I hope this story inspires you. And without any further ado, let me introduce to you Robert Martin.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So my name is Robert Martin. I'm a senior security engineer at Cisco Systems. As always, these are my opinions and not the opinions of Cisco. But my job here at Cisco as a senior security engineer is to work with our government customers to secure networks, build networks, work with architecture, enjoy what I do very much as a Cisco employee. But as a senior security engineer, it's an ever-evolving task. It's an ever-evolving education. It's an ever-evolving journey through our cybersecurity interconnection with all these companies. So what's important here is to know that working for Cisco or any other company in IT security or IT or networking will require you to continue to have education and, more importantly, have a lot of fun while you're doing it.
Very well said. So welcome to this podcast, Robert, and excited to hear your story. So let's start with the beginning, with how Robert the Kid was, and where did you grow up? What was it like being Robert?
Sure. So I grew up in Southwest Virginia, so in Bedford, Virginia. That time was not a time where everyone had their own personal computer. So when we wanted to enjoy some time on the keyboard, that had to be done at school. One of my first big interactions with working with computers was in Bedford, Virginia for Mr. Melton. He was a computer science teacher at that time, and we had computers that we were doing really basic coding. Fell in love with it. He made it very interesting, not only interesting, but he was very encouraging. So he would give us missions when we were doing any type of programming, telling us what the computers were doing, give us the background on that. Interesting part about that story is myself and two others within the class really excelled in programming. So Mr. Melton noticed that, and as we were going through our journey, he noticed how much we enjoyed it, enjoyed working with each other, working with the other students. Something that came out of that was important was he gave us an opportunity through the state, working through the education system, to teach computer camp for second and third graders at one of the local elementary schools. So when we finished up the semester, we were actually offered that as a job. That was a summer job, one of my first jobs that I had. And we spent about 6 to 8 weeks working with the students, teaching them about computer programming, playing games, getting them introduced to that. So that gave me a kind of throwing into the pool way of dealing with young individuals, even though I was very young myself, sixth and seventh grade, to enjoy time with them, teach them a little bit about computers, computer games, how they could be used in learning. So that was not only an opportunity for me to realize, well, working hard in school was important, but it also was rewarded with an opportunity to actually work and have that responsibility at a very early age.
Yes, I mean, middle school, not every kid has a job in middle school, and let alone teaching other children a new trade. That's quite impressive. Awesome. So it sounded like you had a knack for coding. What else were your interests in school?
So not only the computer side of it, but just being able to interact with other students. One of the teachers I had, she was unbelievable. She was actually our English teacher, Miss DeBerry. So Miss DeBerry required us to interact with one another. So one of the lessons that she taught us was we had to live in DeBerry land, for the last semester of our course. I know that may sound a little unusual for an English class, but she was determined for us to get an experience and learn about what it's like to actually live. So when we lived in Deberryland, we had to interact with one another. We had to take newspapers. These newspapers were things that we had to get jobs out of them, calculate our income, talk to one another, rent an apartment, buy food, clip coupons, and everything within Deberryland was the Deberry General Store. We had to buy groceries. We had to balance our checkbook. So this required us to come out of our shells as individuals and work with one another to build a strategy. The strategy was to not only live in Deberryland, buy our groceries, pay our utility bills, but the goal was to make sure that we had money left in our account at the end of that semester. If we didn't have any money left at the end of the semester, then we failed. So she gave us an opportunity to say, these are things that you're going to experience as you're living on your own, as you see your parents working, as you see the experience of clipping coupons, which is something that we see maybe if you go to a local drugstore and you get a coupon, how important those are, especially since it's your own money. So as I grew up, I had an early introduction to not only teachers that would make it tangible and real, but they gave us an opportunity to live. And we had strict guidelines. Ms. DeBerry was a wonderful teacher, but she was very strict. So that education is long, and along with Mr. Melton, who gave us those computer skills, gave us a really neat opportunity to have a really holistic view. Other teachers that I enjoyed, even my math teacher, he would make sure that we understood that you're going to be using these. I get this question a lot as an instructor, as a teacher, you know, when am I ever going to use this? Well, that's the responsibility of not only the teacher, but for all of us to tell the young people that you will end up using these basic math that you'll use for coding, basic math that you'll use for networking. These are skills that you have to be very sharpened. And when I'm doing subnetting as an example, as flashing forward a little bit, when I'm teaching subnetting, I'd say, well, you have to understand these values, these bit values. They're your times tables when it comes to networking. So there's a couple of examples of how teachers influenced me and how I grew up. We had to work very hard. I worked at a local dairy farm when I was living in Virginia. I would work there to earn money. We worked together as a family to pay bills, to buy our clothing, to do those things that, you know, that were necessary during that time. It was very diverse, but those are a couple of stories that really influenced my life.
Yes. And it's awesome to, you know, highlight the importance of our teachers and the valuable lessons they teach in addition to the curriculum that they're being given. So many life lessons that they shared with you. It's quite amazing. So I always ask this question, what did you want to be growing up?
Oh, I wanted to be a judge. That was my first inkling of what I wanted to do. It's unusual being in IT security, but I wanted to be a judge. I was fascinated with the law. Had watched many shows about what that career path would look like. I thought about law school. That was my goal. The thing that really changed me was that introduction to computers. When Mr. Melton would go through and he would show us what we could actually do, we had an opportunity to make something, to do something of our own creation. Now, of course, they gave us an opportunity to be creative, but I always wanted to be a judge. So that was an interesting career derivation when it came to that. So once I fell in love with computers, that became a thing of the past.
That was the light bulb.
That was my light bulb. Yes.
So what lessons did you learn throughout your school years before college that were not in a textbook? And we already talked about quite a few, the value of money, the value of working hard, collaboration, anything else?
Something that really stood out to me as I grew up is the idea of it's not about me and to be kind. Too many times we overlook kindness, looking to others, learning how to collaborate, looking at someone that's in need. Maybe it's a student beside you that's struggling with a concept that you understand, that you can lean over and say, is there anything I can do to help? What's important about that life lesson is it's tangible and relevant here, even where I work. If you lean over to a colleague and say, is there something I can help you with, or can I give you a hand with that? Then it opens up those communication channels that they'll lean over to you and say, is there something I can help you with? that's where the collaboration begins. So being kind to one another, having an opportunity to talk to another student, take time away from your cell phone, collaborate. So with that comes kindness. We have an opportunity every day to be kind to one another and say, how can I help? That was one of the life lessons for me that was so important, that to be kind to one another, to take those opportunities and build that ecosystem. And as we talk, I'd like to talk about your support staff, something that is very important to me as I've been growing up and maturing even at the age I am now.
So let's talk about your support staff. What is that definition to you?
Sure. So support staff are the closest group of people that you have to you that are your influencers. Mm-hmm. So as I was growing up, it was an opportunity for me to meet other people. Your support staff are those who can really come to you and give you advice. Your support staff has to be carefully chosen as you're moving through your career, as you're working even in school, as you're collaborating with friends. Those are the ones that will not only challenge you, but if you're having a difficult time, they can help pick you up. As an example, so with the Raleigh Information System Security Association, which I've been a member of a long time, I did not want to go to the first meeting. One of the influencers that I have now and had in the past is Chris Blask. So as I was working, starting into IT security, he told me that day that I was going to a Raleigh ISSA meeting. And I was like, no, I'm not going to a meeting. He said, well, if you don't go to this meeting, I'm not going to help you anymore. Yes. And it was very shocking because he's a brilliant man. And he was helping me not only with relationships, but he was also helping me understand networking. So when I first sat down at the meeting at the McKimmon Center at NC State, there was only a few of us. There was probably 40, 50 people in the room. As I sat down and started saying, well, you know, why am I here? Like kind of the light bulb, as you would say, went off. And I walked up to Brad Holscher, and he was the president at the time, and said, how can I help? So I started building my support staff. That came from me stepping out, not someone stepping to me. So my support staff is a close group of people, the ones that are closest to me, not only my family, my close friends, my colleagues at the ISSA chapter, Devon Carter, Alex Hart, Chad Williams, the entire board that is there, Deborah Ferris. You know, we talk to each other, Christy Kushner, we talk to each other weekly. We send text messages to each other. So your support staff are ones that would come up to you as an example, and you say, well, I'm going to tackle this certification. And they would come to you. Your support staff would say, okay, well, what do you need? What do you need help in order to do that? Now, you may have someone in your life that comes up to you and says, well, I don't think you should do that right now. Well, the response would be, you have to ask why. Now, if that person is saying something that's to your benefit, is saying, well, you know, you want to think about that with your workload. Are you adding something else to you? Would this cause your work to slip, or maybe other things or the commitments that you have? That's certainly, yes, absolutely. Let me think about that. Let me consider that. But if someone comes up to you and says, well, I just don't think you should do that, and it's not a really good reason, maybe it's a reason that's selfish for them, that's not a person that's in your support staff. Your support staff should be folks that are challenging you, that come up to you and say, okay, well, how's your studying going? And if they see you doing something that, you know, maybe isn't along in your path, it's a distraction, they'll correct you really quickly. So that's what I mean when I say support staff.
That's awesome. So just to summarize, what do you see the purpose of ISSA to be?
Raleigh ISSA, the center focus of that is education. So when I first started with the chapter, it was a difficult economic time. So it was back in 2007, 2008, as the economy was really tanking. I decided, unlike many people around me at the time, my support staff wasn't as good. They decided that they were just going to ride it out. Just, you know, it's okay. It'll be no problem. It'll fix itself. No problem. I decided, with help from my really close support staff, my sister came to me and said, you know, this is something you need to go back to school. So I did. Now, one of the pieces of this is I decided at that time to go after my Certified Information System Security Professional certification. Surprisingly, I had many people around me that says, you should not do that. So those conversations were, why are you doing that? What's the reason for that? And I really had to peel back why I was being asked that, not only by family, but also some of the folks that were in the business world. They said, well, you know, that's a really big exam. I think that's something you maybe want to, you know, not consider. So I didn't take the advice. Something that was important to me is the materials that I needed, books, CDs, things that would help me to get through that. And my support staff at that time, I remember colleagues of mine, Jesus Torres, Michael Bauckham, who came to me and said, hey, here's some CDs for you or DVDs. These are ones that you can use. And the big influencers, the Raleigh ISSA chapter every year has a CISSP review. At the time, it was tough financially for me. So I came into the meeting conference room that we had, sat down, had my notebook, my pens and so forth. And Valdez Ladd, who was the education director at the time, walked up to me and he asked me where my book was. And I said, well, to be honest with you, Valdez, I couldn't afford it. I think at the time it was $135. It was the Sean Harris all-in-one book. Just could not afford it at that time. So he said, well, hang on a minute. And he walked in the back of the room and he walked up to me and he gave me a Sean Harris book that was a year or so old, but it was something that I could use. So when he set that down in front of me, that really lit me on fire. And that, Valdez, became in my support staff. He would ask me questions as we were going forward. And as a result of that kindness, as I mentioned before, he was able to propel me to a place where I had to own that. So once that book became mine, then I had to determine at that time what I was going to do with it.
Yeah. And I know ISSA still does these book exchanges so that everybody has access to their learning materials without having to break the bank.
So that's fantastic.
Now, I lived in a sales role most of my career, and I saw that you were a senior account executive at Wells Fargo. So you didn't start in cybersecurity. You kind of took the long way there. So tell us a little bit about that little journey that you took into cybersecurity.
Certainly. Well, I'll go back even further than that. I started my career working as a prison guard at a supermax prison in North Carolina. So as I was working, saving money up for school, that was a very difficult job. It was a very scary job.
Okay.
I realized during that time that I wanted to do more. The people that I worked around were wonderful. It was a tough job. It was very stressful. Moving forward, I had a friend that came to me and said, well, are you interested in sales? So I'd had several sales jobs. The Wells Fargo opportunity came out through a relationship. I actually drove out to Virginia Beach and interviewed for that. And I was an account executive for many years for Wells Fargo. One of the influencers that I had at Wells Fargo is Jim Young. So Jim Young was my manager at that time. And the sales profession going around and being an account executive at Wells Fargo was a lot of traveling, understanding lending, managing other lenders. So Jim Young took me under his wing. He was an excellent influencer. An interesting part about him is even though I haven't worked for them in many years, he calls me every year on my anniversary with Wells Fargo, and he calls me on my birthday just to tell me hello. Yeah. So those are, yeah, he's quite an influencer. That job helped me to learn how to talk to people and deal with difficult situations. It also gave me an introduction to working with compliance. So working within these different lending institutions, you have various state and federal guidelines that you have to adhere to, or you'll get fined, you'll get audited, and there's issues there. So that, although it was a sales job for a period of time, it was something that helped me understand the importance of the why behind the IT at that time. But wow. Loved it very much. It was a good introduction.
And I also saw that you did instruction, that you were a course developer as well. Like where you were part of the educational force, but within a business, you know, organization.
Absolutely. So I worked for Intunet Security, which was started by Alan Harper. Alan Harper was one of the luminaries, still is in the industry, for Gray Hat Hacking, the Ethical Hacker's Handbook. He was my supervisor when I worked for Intunet Security. I was vice president of the business development at that time. Alan decided to move on and sell his company, and he did. I moved on to Lenovo, which was a really wonderful, diverse company. So I worked there for quite some time doing course development, all along being supported by the ISSA chapter. So as I was working through these technologies, the underpinning that was so valuable to me was being able to go to my colleagues, my support staff at the Raleigh ISSA chapter and say, I really don't understand this. Tell me about this. So as a course developer working at Lenovo, I got to travel to China, to Japan, get an opportunity to interact with others, work with the technology, even at the very foundation, at the hardware level, at the software level, and understand those things. Something I found that very important as we're talking here is how you learn. Everyone has a different style, and some have combinations of styles. So another piece of this, as you're talking with your influencers, is to really understand how you learn and feed that. Continue to feed if it's something where you need to do hands-on, or perhaps you need to do simulations, or maybe you need your visual person to really get a hold of that and look at the content that you're maybe purchasing, or as you're delivering content to others, even if you're doing any type of tutoring. It was a wonderful piece to be able to go in and look at these different courses, get critiques, and then see those being passed around all over the world. So I had a wonderful team that I was a part of there at Lenovo.
And you explaining your story and the different milestones that you've taken and the different lessons you learned across every step of that way, explain to me who you are today, the Rob Martin that I've met at ISSA and the Rob Martin who's also in the community helping kids wrap their heads around cybersecurity and raising awareness about the importance of applying already a good security posture and also an understanding of privacy to young kids. So this explains to me who you are today. This totally makes sense because I know you've benefited from ISSA, but not everybody who's part of the ISSA community benefits from your leadership, from your knowledge and expertise. So it went full circle and you are definitely paying back. You've been a volunteer at ISSA over 8 years. Did I get that right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you volunteered for over 9 years with NC Score. What does NC Score do?
Sure. NC Score are retired professionals that come out and give back to the community. So you can go to the website and take a look. So anyone that's in the industry, various pieces of that, folks that have been in business a while that have retired or get an opportunity to volunteer. I'm very fortunate working here at Cisco. Cisco is a big proponent, like many other companies, that come in and say, we want you to volunteer and spend time. So NC Score conducts, you can sign up for those. They have webinars. They have opportunities for mentorship. Really amazing group of people that give back, and they give back perpetually. So as they come out, they continue to look for opportunities to help other businesses grow. Maybe you're having an issue that you don't understand with business growth, or maybe it's an IT issue, whatever those are, those make a big difference. With the Raleigh ISSA chapter, what has made me are people around me, and you're one of those. I remember when we first met at the ISSA chapter, we talked about the heart that we've had, and you've shown that and continue to show that even with this podcast that you're taking your time and building and growing. So very grateful for that. I can give you a few examples of how I've changed. So when I sat down at the Raleigh ISSA chapter, I wanted to think about how I have been helped. And then the question becomes, well, what are we going to do now? What are some of the things that I can do as an individual? So I've had an amazing opportunity to work with people. A couple of examples would be Galen Fasler. So Galen came in from Colorado. She came into the area. I met Galen through her father, her stepfather, who was a part of the Raleigh ISSA chapter. She came in bright, hungry, ready to go, wanted to volunteer. So she held an adjunct position for many years, helping with our conference, with our meetings, was a big influencer there. What was wonderful about Galen is she was always hungry to learn. So the ISSA gave us an opportunity to not only get experience, and that was the part that many of us lack when we're trying to get into the IT careers. Well, how do we do this? Galen continued to educate herself, get that experience, grow, be an active part, and she got hired at Duke. And she just recently, congratulations to Galen, got promoted. Another great example is Allison Tuttle. So Allison Tuttle, when I was teaching at Carolina Career College, was one of the students who came out of the Army. she was in class and she was telling me, well, I just don't know what I can do. And I was like, well, you have a lot of skill sets. You just have to believe in that. So many folks that I run into, it's really a confidence thing. Don't overlook that. If you're feeling like you can't do this, well, you're in good company, because we all do. Don't ever feel that that's something that changes that we've arrived at a certain position. Allison worked very hard. She committed herself to being on time in class, getting her certifications done, sometimes losing sleep. But she was given an opportunity to work here at Cisco and absolutely did a wonderful job with the interview, was hired, and she continues to work and grow and get promoted. And what's exciting about that is I get an opportunity to work with her. One final example is Matthew Tilley. So one of the more recent folks that I've been working with, he's at Wake Tech Community College right now, and he's studying marketing and realizes how much that IT underpinning is important when it comes to marketing, digital marketing, websites, and so forth. And just the drive that he has to be creative to build websites, to go into Amazon Web Services as an example. So I want to go back to kind of the epicenter of the positive disruption that we have in this area is the Raleigh ISSA chapter, which I benefited from. So those are a couple of examples of how it has benefited me.
Yes, and everybody around you. And I love these examples because they really stress the importance of being part of a network. Like you said, you're having a support family around you. And I really feel ISSA is like a family that they take care of each other. And by just being exposed to one another, people see drive, people recognize hard work, that determination, that hunger to be part of this movement. And I think that really helps cross that bridge from inexperience to getting your first job, because people want to help. People want you to get that opportunity and succeed in this world. So that is definitely what I've seen, such as all these examples that you've given, that together we can help each other grow to achieving our dreams and making a difference at the end of the day. You talked a lot about the cheerleaders, the mentors. Did you have like a public figure as a role model when you were a kid or now? Who do you look up to today?
Oh, well, my big influencers are my friends around me, the ones that are close. And I have several mentors. So I have mentors that are around me that are very challenging. I could say very close to me, people to me, Leanna Burbank, Tilly, Tim Bailey, Devon Carter, Christy Kushner, Alex Hart, most of which these people I've mentioned before that are board members, Chad Williams, you, Kathy. I mean, I see these things grow and I see my colleagues, and those are what I would call my little power pellets that keep me going. Because as I woke up this morning, I was very excited about an opportunity to do this. And it's more about looking at someone and saying it's possible. I do like to listen to, I've done many audiobooks as an example. David Goggins is a person that I really enjoy listening behind, enjoy his podcast, enjoy listening to him. He came from very small beginnings, became a Navy SEAL after going through Navy BUDS training three times, and would talk about not just the, well, this is, let me just show you the sunshine and everything was great as I went through this, but how he would overcome things like having learning disabilities, going against people that perhaps don't believe in you or make a judgment about you based on whatever that may be. Now, what's important to know this is he was one of the very few African-Americans who made it through Navy SEAL training. And he talked about that extensively when he grew up, how he grew up. One of the stories that he shared was a teacher who would not allow him to slack off, that wouldn't allow him to do anything but excel, was very hard on him, but gave him an opportunity to move forward. And I do believe we need that. We need more challenging support staffs. We need those that are coming to us and saying, okay, what do your goals look like? For me, my influencers, they're goal-driven. These are short-term, mid-term, and long-term. So short-term for me are 3 months. What am I going to do in the next 3 months? Mid-term are six. And then long-term, what am I going to do in the next 12? That doesn't come from having a long session sitting there, it comes from reaching out to my colleagues, looking at folks on LinkedIn that have job titles that I would like to go to, and then being challenged by that, looking at where the industry is going, and then also sharing that refinement, having conversations with you to say, hey, is this really the direction that I need to go? What do you think about that? And being my support staff, you would come back and say, well, you know, I agree with that, but hey, have you considered this? Or sometimes it's just simply, Kathy, as I was shown by Valdez Ladd, and I've been absolutely blessed to be able to do the same, is give somebody a book. Isaiah Kang, who I met at, ironically, a Korean barbecue restaurant, I looked at him and he just looked like he was down. He just wasn't having a good day. And I asked him, I was like, how's it going? What do you do? And he was telling me he was in school. He was in college and graduate school. And I told him, I said, hey, you're doing great. And he said, well, I really appreciate that. And he said he was getting ready for work and he felt very down and he didn't feel like he had a purpose. But after that conversation, being able to talk to him about, what are things that you want to do? And direction. One of my dear friends, Nathan Kim, and if I ever miss saying anyone's name, I love you all to pieces. I hope everyone knows that. I'm just these names that are coming to me. Nathan Kim was so kind to come on to a phone call a couple of weeks ago and talk with Isaiah and one of Isaiah's friends to say, we can help you. Let me tell you about the Raleigh ISSA chapter. And a couple of days ago, we were able to give him a couple books on Amazon Web Services machine learning that he would be able to use and be able to further his career. So pretty neat stories that evolve out of these conversations of sharpening, of refinement. So David Goggins was one of those things that talks about attacking, constantly attacking, and not in the mean sense, but attacking that obstacle. If there's something in your way, you've got to chip away at it until it's moved. And then those obstacles, with help from those around you, to get those moved out of the way.
I want to go back to the story of Allison, where you're talking about someone who was in the armed forces and then found a way through ISSA into the cybersecurity space. And I see a lot of veterans gravitating to cybersecurity post their careers in the armed forces, because there's that shared purpose. There's a common language already that they speak, and they understand the importance of being part of something bigger than themselves. And I see great future for people who are veterans to continue making a difference on the cyber front this time.
Absolutely. So I will back up and say, as a senior security engineer at Cisco, that title is important, but it's still the underpinning of that. My job is to be the absolute best at what I do. So when I was first talking to Allison and I introduced myself and they want to know your background, they want to know that the person that they're talking to is a good influencer, understands what they're teaching, has that opportunity, then more important, they have a path that they can follow. So when Allison was sitting in the class, she would come in. She was very tired, quite a bit of stressors when it comes from transitioning from a very comfortable place in the military out of the military. But some of those things is to tell those folks that I'm going to challenge you, but in a way that's empowering. So started inviting Allison to meetings. Hey, why don't you come and learn? Let's get your education in a good direction. Some of those things that the ISSA has really taught me is we need to not be respecters of persons. So when we have events, having breakfast there for perhaps someone who didn't have time to eat breakfast or couldn't afford breakfast, that we have food and lunch and ready for them and get that either for nothing, which many times we do, or just a very small amount of money to do that. So Allison took those challenges. I had to have an opportunity to her and say, I would like you to do these things. And she would just devour them. Sometimes she was tired. Sometimes there was, you know, hey, I don't really know. And I would say, hey, it's okay. We're going to work through that. But you have to work hard. You have to be at these opportunities. You've got to take that opportunity in the moment of the opportunity, or it may pass you. What's interesting about her evolution, not only did she jump onto that job, get promoted, work hard, I've heard nothing but accolades about her. And I will say this unashamedly, if I recommend someone to a job and they don't do a good job, that's something they're going to hear about after the fact. These opportunities we get in our careers, there's a great responsibility to that. So as we're recommending people two jobs. Even myself, I was recommended to the job that I have currently, and I'm very grateful for that. But there was a responsibility that came in, and every day when I come in, I want to work hard and earn that. So Allison not only took that challenge, but as I was challenging her more, she's now the secretary for the Raleigh ISSA chapter and has picked up that as another mantle, move forward with that. And she's continuing to excel and influencing those around her. And it's neat because we get an opportunity to say to each other, I'm really honored that we get to work together. I'm honored that you're really working hard. And even some of the Matthews that are coming up, the Matthew Tillies that are coming up, the Isaiah Kangs that are coming up, that we can see our next levels of leadership coming in and our family continues to grow.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the future a little bit. So before we do that, let's define what you do as a senior security engineer at Cisco. What does that mean?
So I work with our customers, and what we do is we work on any of the needs that they have, designing networks, setting those networks up. I work with an amazing architecture team, development team, that design solutions, as Cisco always being the innovator, the front leader when it comes to these innovations, these solutions, and our customers build those. Once they're built, then we go ahead and take care of the compliance side of that. So my job is to, as a senior security engineer and an information system security officer, is to interact not only with the customer, but to ensure that we cover the CIA triad. If I could do just a very short example of that, we want to ensure that we take care of the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of that network, keep it up, running, and provide that service to them that we know that we can do and innovate and continue to evolve that service. So as the global economy changes, as our networks change, as we move into cloud, these are things that we have to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. So my job is to ensure all the security controls are adhered to, making sure that I'm working with the networking team, that we're collaborating with that customer, providing the services in a secure manner. So what we're doing is we're enabling that service to go through, provide that in a secure manner.
Yes. And just a little side note, the security triad, the CIA is actually one of the underlying reasons why I have a triangle in my logo.
Nice.
And why I use the triangle net. It has a double entendre, the location where we are, but also the importance of the CIA principles in everything that we do.
Very good.
Yes. And Cisco Systems has been always a company to me that is so much more visionary than many other organizations. They always look at what's next. They look at upcoming disruptions. And I remember John Chambers really speaking about disruption constantly. And cybersecurity was one of those things that he said would disrupt every single organization mm-hmm. very soon. And that was before his retirement. And his common phrase was disrupt or be disrupted. Mm-hmm. And I love how Cisco just keeps pushing the envelope. Originally, they were networking. They built the internet and everything else connected to it. And then I sold MPLS technology, networking solutions, unified communications, wireless, cloud solutions, and security was another big venture for them, where through acquisitions, but also through bolting in and designing technology that was secure from the get-go, was where they are now such a big player in cybersecurity. But let's talk about the future. What is next for Cisco, and how do you see your role evolving throughout that process?
Well, I would say that the future for me is pioneered by the foundation of how, and I know how Cisco has been successful, is they do their homework, they do the research. they're looking at trends. It's a collective of the entire global workforce looking at the changes that are occurring, the disruptions, and we're going to be a positive disruption when it comes to that. So certainly there's groups within that do a vast amount of research, working with the local universities, keeping that that reach out to all that good intellectual property that's out there and saying, what are you seeing? What's on the front lines that we need to take care of? Looking down the road 10, 15 years to see, you know, what's going to be our next innovation? What's going to be the things that are going to be challenging? And then designing that. So we're looking at problems that perhaps don't even exist yet to find solutions for those. Security being one of those. But I would say that the most comforting part about working here is the focus on education. That Cisco embraces the idea that they want the absolute smartest people, the best of the best that are sitting in the chairs and saying, you know, how can we help you be successful? My current manager, Greg Olson, as we sit and we have one-on-ones as an example, we'll sit down and we'll talk about, you know, where are you going? What's that future look like? For me, what I see is an opportunity to get education. I just finished up certification a couple of days ago. And something funny about that is I reserved a conference room to take the certification virtually. So we're being very careful and safe here as we're dealing with COVID. And for some reason, when I went out of the room, the door locked. So I had about 20 minutes before my exam was getting ready to start. And the room was locked with my computer and all my materials in there. So fortunately, one of my colleagues were able to get the door open. He was kind enough to get that door open for me, sat down. Spent the next several hours, was real thankful, passed the exam, very excited about that. But what's the next thing? For me, the future is going to be education and getting that hands-on experience. For me, it's going to be building more of my support staff. And the last part about that, as Denzel Washington, you know, has said very well, is to, you know, to reach one and teach one. So to reach back, get a hold of the people that it might be a colleague right beside you that is going to that maybe excels at something. I think for me, some of the colleagues that I admire very much are Nick Combs. Nick Combs is a programmer. He came out of the Marine Corps and he excelled greatly and went from being a networking administrator to a senior developer just because of his education, went back to school. What an amazing story there as well. And looking at my colleagues and saying, okay, well, how did you get there? It could be as simple as a book. One of the neat stories and what gives me hope for my future in my education is talking to my colleagues and saying, okay, what materials did you use? What are one of the books that you use to help you understand perhaps Python, which is one that I definitely want to learn? What is a good resource that you can use when you're studying Amazon Web Services or Azure? What is another resource, perhaps maybe a John Fox? John Fox works for Microsoft and is a dear colleague of mine. We used to teach together and he's just absolutely excelled in his career. Going to him and saying, well, what are some of the materials that you recommend? What are things that you can give to me? So my future is to continue to educate myself. I will say, just as a caveat, as we're talking about security, is the best security person you can be is someone who understands the network. The best network security, or the best networking person you can be, is one who understands the idea of security. They're not two separate entities. So to be a good security person, you have to understand how the network works. To build a solid network, a functioning network, and a secure network, you have to be security minded when you do that. And that takes a crowd. That takes a crowd source to be able to bring all those components together. I'm excited to maybe start a doctorate program. I was inspired by one of our keynote speakers, Dr. Chase Cunningham. What a great influencer, what a great story, what a great support staff that I'd love to have more time with. He went back and got his doctorate degree as a big influencer up in Washington, working with our officials, educating them about IT security, talking about things like zero trust is a big example of what those are. So the future for me is to look at that path and to not only lead, but follow. Look at what others are doing. And I will say this again, Kathy, I really appreciate the opportunity for your leadership, your example, to be able to come in here and to share a little bit as we're giving back to the community, and that we can give hope. If there's something we can do in a very difficult time, sometimes as folks are isolated, is to say, you can do this. And if you need a hand, just reach out to one of us, contact us, go to our website, say, I need some help, and find that hope that we have. So that's my future.
Fantastic. What do you wish for future generations?
My hope for the future generation is we'll find a path back to one another. that we will work more, not so much as individuals, but as groups, as collectives. So folks that are coming together and saying, it's not about me, because truly, if I could say anything, this isn't about me. This is about a greater purpose far beyond me. Our purpose is to help one another and be kind to each other. I hope for everyone around us during this time, we'll take a moment, even if we're going out to eat or if we're in class virtually, to reach out to someone. For me, it's about that kindness that as we're being individuals, as we're having devices that are about ourselves, as we're kind of isolating ourselves, that we'll kind of break out of our shells, spend some time with one another, find the people in your life that you can help, and then start working within your own ecosystem. So my hope for our future is that we'll break down the walls. I would say even simple things like this opportunity to collaborate in two different spaces, opportunity to set up conferences, work with our groups. I applaud Cisco as they're reaching out to elementary schools and setting up Cisco telepresence units so that they can collaborate, they can teach, they can break down the walls and be safe during this time where we have to be careful with our contact, that we can still see each other, we can still hear each other, we can still have those opportunities. So that's my hope, is we'll get back to being a family like we are in the Raleigh ISSA chapter.
Yes, that is a beautiful vision. Looking back, what would you give yourself as advice? Would you change anything? Are there any recommendations, any lessons learned that you would want to know as a kid?
Be courageous. Don't be afraid. If there's anything that I would say, and I don't say this, and I'm talking about me, is don't be a coward. Don't be afraid to step out. Now, that is something way easier said than done. But do the hard things. Be faithful in the little things. Something that I talk about is if something that pays you, this is something that I would talk, if I were to have a conversation with myself 20 years ago, 10 years ago, is what pays me during the day? So when I talk about what pays me, what are things that will advance me forward? That could be as simple as, you know, Kathy, you know, I've had these conversations. It's having a good night's sleep. It's eating good food. It's waking up in an appropriate time that you can get your study done. You can spend time. You can focus on those things. Yeah. As you're looking for your certifications, find the things that will pay you. Once you finish that certification, then that propels you a little bit further. Those things will pay you. Now, there's some detractors for that. This is one of the advice that I would tell myself. Look at your day in every 30-minute increments. What are you doing every 30 minutes? When you jump up in the morning and you brush your teeth and you do your hygiene and you do all that, map yourself out in a typical day. And the last thing is be honest. Stop lying to yourself. I would tell myself that. Stop lying to yourself. I know it sounds strange, but other leaders like David Goggins, as an example, he just didn't want to lie during the day. Tell the truth to yourself and others. Map your day out every 30 minutes. And then see where there's pockets of time that you can better yourself, sharpen yourself. Well, I'm going to carve out 30 minutes in the morning. I'm going to pack my lunch so I can have 30 minutes to study. And then at night, rather than gaming for 2 hours, I'm going to game for an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes. But I'm going to invest into myself that I can in turn do those things that pay me, that are going to pay it forward, that are going to invest into me. And that's a great investment, is not only investing into yourself, and then find a battle buddy, if you will. Find somebody that you can in turn teach that to pay yourself going through the day. And not big changes. Don't do big changes. Do little changes. Maybe if you're staying up too late, maybe go to bed 15 minutes earlier and keep working on that until you get that proper amount of sleep, which is different for everyone else. But really do those things that pay you and invest into yourself.
I love how you talk about investing in yourself and how every little thing that you do is an investment in you that now you can translate into some value that you give to the world around you. I absolutely love how you put it that way. What would be the right reason to pursue cybersecurity, and what would be the wrong reason to pursue cybersecurity?
Sure. The right reason to to pursue cybersecurity as it permeates everything that we do. If I go to my local restaurant and I use my credit card and it gets stolen and I don't understand even basic security principles, if I happen to write down passwords, if I happen to share a password, if I happen to take that information and put it out on social media, that that would cause a problem for me, it becomes immortalized. Once you do anything out on the internet is immortalized. The right reason is to go and help other people. The world we live in is drastically changing. So not just sounding nostalgic, but as I grew up, I saw this acceleration to where we didn't have these problems. Credit cards are now in everything we do. No one wants to take cash. You're going to do this credit card. As we're sharing our information, as we're sharing information about ourselves, we have to do that in a new manner to where we have now a global audience that will view everything that we've done via social media, everything that we're doing. That's the right reason, is to protect ourselves and our future. The things that I look at during the day is that this is my future going forward. Not only in business, but my own personal life, I have to be very careful about what I do. So that's a right reason to go into IT security. And it's to push our global economy further. We will be successful. We will come out of this. This situation has not come to stay. It's come to pass. And that was a quote from another one of my favorite motivational speakers, Les Brown, who I listen to regularly. Very motivating. The wrong reason to go into this is maybe perhaps to go in and say, I'm trying to pursue a financial piece of this, or I'm trying to get a title. Titles don't mean anything to me. I may have a label of senior security engineer, but here's the thing. You can give me a title, you can sit me down, but here's the question. What can I do? And I would say that to anyone who walks into an educational platform, comes out with a degree. When they sit down at the job day one, the people are looking at you saying, we have a mountain of work to do. What can you do to help our team move forward? What can you do to also innovate for us? What are these new ideas that you can do? So the wrong reason would be to obtain a title or perhaps play the game when it comes to the financial side of that. All important to make sure that we're making good decisions financially. Not saying that, but title doesn't mean everything. The right reason is to go in is protect our future, because everyone has a stake in this. If someone says, well, you know, I'm not an influencer, you know, I don't have any influence on the people around me, they're wrong when they say that.
Absolutely. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about a story that was in the news on Monday of this week, where in Florida, a water supply management system had been accessed by a bad actor. And that bad actor changed the levels of the chemicals to a toxic level. And it is a miracle that someone actually saw it happening. Somebody else had eyes on glass and saw somebody operate the system and change the levels right in front of their eyes. And it made everybody cringe in the world and kind of make the question around cybersecurity, how's this possible, blah, blah, blah. But luckily, there are physical security elements that are put in place in the critical infrastructure, such as a water supply system, that prevent this from immediately happening. But at the end of the day, what is important is layered security and that interconnection between the virtual, the technology side, and then the physical side, the mechanicals behind all of it. Do you want to share a little bit your insights about critical infrastructure security and defense in depth?
Certainly. So industrial control systems has been a concern for years. That's something that Cisco, as well as others, have been concerned about. There's a lot of nonprofits out there, industrial control system centers of excellence, as an example, that talk about this: water, gas, electric, nuclear. So these are components that open or close valves, change pH levels, add chemicals to components, deploy fuel rods. These are things that actually do a task, do a function, but they're controlled by someone that's sitting behind a keyboard. So you're not walking out with a hard hat and a big wrench and opening up the water valve in the morning so everybody can have a drink of water and closing it at a certain time. These are all being done electronically. The physical security aspect of this is extremely important. you can't protect the $100,000 worth of servers if you don't have a lock on the door. And then I will say the lock is only as good as the integrity of the person with the key. So the integrity of the person with the key is the one who comes in and decides, okay, well, defense in depth is having that layer defense, building what I would call not so crunchy on the outside, chewy on the inside, but crunchy all the way through, setting up barriers, setting up alerts, looking at behavior-based analytics that says, wait a minute, pH level changed. Why is that changed? Why is someone accessing this system at 2 o'clock in the morning when no one should be on that system at 2 o'clock in the morning? Setting up, and then visibility, you said it extremely well. Visibility, did you see what happened? Could you tell who did it, when they did it, what was the result of what they did? And then more importantly, do you have countermeasures in place in order to stop that? Do you have compensating controls? Maybe this failed, but now I have this control that can catch a hold of it and say, nope, we're going to correct that immediately. So defense in depth is something that I still believe defense in depth. I've read articles that says defense in depth is dead. I disagree. If the door is unlocked to the house, I would say this in as a simple example. If you believe that defense in depth is dead, then leave your front door open. Just let anybody come into the house that you want to. So make sure you're locking doors as we're going in. Make sure you have that integrity. The integrity piece is something that's important too, and I'll relate that to education. If you're not the smart person sitting behind that desk under that pane of glass, setting up that alert, realizing it's there, coming in on time, I'll even say that, coming in on time, being alert while you're at work to pay attention to that, then these are things that will cause major catastrophes. It's not the big things. It's the little things that go wrong. That is a sequence that can cause major disaster. But great example.
Yes. And it also just stresses how security is just everywhere and everything is just so interconnected, and you can't just say this is not my problem. Right? It's just something that we have to all own and control, whether you are the expert in the room or not. Everybody has to kind of carry a little bit of that responsibility.
Absolutely. It's something that we all have to have a stake in the game. This global economy, working as a team, that we're not individuals, we're a collective. And collectively, we're really smart. I think individually, we're really smart people, but you put us in a room together and collectively, we're brilliant. Taking and harnessing those skill sets and then challenging each other. Perhaps I would love to learn you if you came talk to me. Now, hey, Rob, have you considered this? I would love it as you being part of my support staff and a trusted advisor for me to give me that advice that I so valuably need. And then having that mentorship that comes along with that. Did you know about this technology? Sometimes it's just you don't know what you don't know. And it's great to be able to have opportunities to train. I appreciate so much all of our sponsors for the ISSA because they give us an opportunity to train on topics that we normally wouldn't be able to and be able to do it in a virtual world. But security is a collective. We're all going to have a stake in this game, and we've got all have to roll up our sleeves and figure out and innovate as we go forward.
Yes, so well said. And the next frontier in all of this connected world is artificial intelligence. What are your thoughts around artificial intelligence and how will it help humanity?
Love artificial intelligence, a way to use the power of a collective of machines to make our world better. So maybe it's analytics that we go through and perhaps find a fault in perhaps code. Maybe it's a process. Maybe it's looking and gathering so vast amount of data, being able to go through that, look at that information and extrapolate the things that we need to learn. Maybe it's a social issue. Maybe it's something that we need to pay attention to. Artificial intelligence to me is a way that we can use our technology in a positive way to be a disruption. It's a way to harness that energy to comb through petabytes of data in seconds and be able to come to a conclusion. It's being able to look at that data in a new way and then make decisions. Maybe that artificial intelligence was the one that recognized that pH level was changing and initiated a response within milliseconds that could save lives. Maybe that artificial intelligence was the thing that said, that combed through that data and said, hey, I've seen this happen over this period of time and here's the pattern on that. So we need to change that. Maybe it's looking at a process to say, you know, something changed about that process, a chemical that could save lives on how production of food, drugs, whatever that may be. So I know that we need to invest heavily in artificial intelligence to even have a future. There's so much data out there. If there's anything that I could say is we have so much data that we need to be able to look at, and we're not going to be able to do that as individuals. We're going to need technology for that.
Yes. And that's why the ethical use, the integrity, as you say, is so critical of that technology specifically, because you have a lot of power in your hands when you're the one controlling the algorithms, the way our artificial intelligence is designed to think. Ultimately, somebody's still coding that algorithm. So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. And hopefully we will have people managing AI very responsibly. Let's talk about what you define as success.
Success to me is being able to reach out to other people and help. Success means to me that we care about each other. When is the last time that your name will be spoken? And what will be the context of that? We can look back through our history and say, oh, I know about this person. You can use names. Sometimes they denote good. Sometimes they denote bad. But for me, success would mean that when I close my eyes for the last time, that I can look back and say that I did my best, that I cared about the people that are around me. And then more importantly, the comfort in that is that they cared about me. My success is my support staff, the people that are around me, that care about me, that are focused on me, and in turn that I care about them and focus on them. So success is take a look at the people that you influence. What does that influence look like? What have you done today? What have you done not only for yourself to make yourself better, right? Because we need to make sure that we're healthy, good, strong before we can help others. But then look at the people around you and say, what did I do today? Look back over your day and say, when you close your eyes at night, when you're going to go to bed, did you do everything that you could do? Did you get the proper amount of sleep? Did you help those around you? And then at the end of the day, look at the people around you and see how you could be of help tomorrow. So when you wake up, what is that? That's success to me. Day at a time. Sometimes it's a minute at a time. But look at the people around and see what you are doing in your life to invest in others.
That is beautiful. And I love how everything that you do, everything you talked about today was about your why, your drive, your purpose, and really leaving a positive mark on the world around you. And you sure do. So finally, last question for you. What are you grateful for?
I'm just grateful for the opportunities that I'm given. It's amazing to sit here with you and have a conversation. It's amazing to be able to have this be immortalized out on the internet, be able to influence other people. I'm very grateful for that. I'm very blessed to have people around me that care about me. I got an email this morning from Devon Carter saying, hey, you know, how are you today? You know, we get text messages from our family. And here's the challenge. If you can take anything from this, here's my challenge. Go and do likewise. Find people around you that need that. Reach out to them. Finding your purpose. Figure out your why and go after that. Because once you figure out that why, you're unstoppable. Once you figure out that, now you're going to have some times where your challenges, don't worry. You got a support staff for that. They'll come alongside of you. I will say this many times unashamedly. When you're with the Raleigh ISSA, you got an entire family. If you're challenging one of us, you're challenging all of us, because all of us will come as a collective to help each other. So do the thing that are hard. Do the things that are challenging. Don't shrink back from that. Be courageous. And at the end of the day, take that strength, drive forward, and don't be a coward. Step forward and be brave, and it'll be worth it. It'll be the thing that will propel you forward. Take an opportunity to help those around you.
I love everything that you just said, and thank you so much. I wanted to personally thank you, Robert, for participating in this podcast, you know, making this your journey, your story, and your life lessons available to everyone who who wishes to learn, I really appreciate your dedication to making education available, accessible to everyone who wants to invest in themselves and who wants to invest in their community. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for you. So I really want to honestly recognize that you are that person who connected me with other people who are making my life so much better and more valuable to others. So we wouldn't be having this conversation if I hadn't met you and if I hadn't been part of the ISSA. So we have to recognize that. And I also want to thank you for being my role model and for so many people. I know so many people know you and recognize you, and I can't wait to see what else we get done in the future. We're still so young. And yes, I know that, like you said, the future is bright and so much is possible. So thank you so much for everything you do and for sharing your story with me.
I'm so grateful for that. Just a very emotional time for me to for you to say that, and so grateful for your leadership, and thank you for all you're doing, and to the ISSA family, and to everyone who gets to hear this. You know, be part, jump in, let's work together as a family and do great things together and help each other. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Field to get some. On the real, we appear to get gone. Victory is ours. Bring the chip home. Galactic, and I'm looking to get more. Raise it up. Seen, but you don't know. Running like the blood, pumping from the pressure of adrenaline rush. We crush whatever we touch. Where you been, y'all? Everyone know. And if you still don't get it, let it chill for a minute. Time is money, and trust me, man, I'm all business. And if you want something done, do yourself to get it finished. Wake up, victory's mine. On top, still on the grind. Gotta go get it right now. Holla at me, with me. It's time. Take all we got, we gon' make it. Show the world that I shine in our greatness. Keep it real, never gon' fake this. Till we make it, taking off, flying high like a spaceship. Take control, take a shot, what you waiting for? Keep it real, never gon' fake this. Till we make it. Second verse, I'm telling you I'm ready to go. Letting you know, cause I'm never alone. The ones that I roll with are incredibly known for getting down to the nitty gritty. If you really with me, let's go. Moves made, dues paid. Most talk, but don't do a thing. We certified, observe as I come through and give a true display. We champions, understand me. Standing under a victory canopy. Canopy the enemy was hitting keys, ready to drive at top speed. Let's get it out. Wake up, victory's mine. Home top, still on the grind. Gotta go get it right now. Holla at me if you're with me. It's time. Take all we got, we gon' make it. Show the world that I shine in our greatness. Keep it real, never gon' fake this. Till we make it, taking off, flying high like a spaceship. Take control, take a shot, what you waiting for? Keep it real, never gon' fake this. Till we make it, I thank the stars above. I know that we're gon' make it. I know the ground below my feet's gon' lift me up. I thank make it, show the world that I shine in our greatness. Keep it real, never gon' fake this. Till we make it, taking off, flying high like a spaceship. Take control, take a shot.